Turn to the Word of God, to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. So this is kind of the golden text of these sessions. And the Apostle Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesians, and I pray it for you, and I hope that you will pray it for yourselves, for one another, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul has God the Father in mind. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we'd advertise tonight that we would be talking about seeing God the Father in Holy Scripture. And this has been a recent awakening for me, because I lived many years of my life without seeing clearly God the Father. This verse means more to me. In fact, I never had focused on it till lately. And when I saw it, I said, wow. Paul is praying that the Ephesians see not only our Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus God and Father, and that their understanding might be enlightened, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they might know the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, His inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He's still talking about the Father. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So let me take just a few minutes here and tell you about my journey to my present understanding of God the Father in regard to His supernaturally conceived, virgin-born, sinless Son of God, our Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, soon-coming King, our Champion, our Hero, our Savior. But I lived a long time in my life without having a clear picture of what the Bible teaches about Jesus' relationship with His Father. A man wrote a book recently, and I saw him on Brother James Robinson's program. They have authors on there, and they talk about their books. And he wrote a book called The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. And that's the words of Jesus, of course. He's a scholar, he's a businessman, he's a minister, and he spent 1,000 hours with his computer grouping Jesus' words into various subjects. Marriage, heaven, hell, money, the various subjects that Jesus spoke on, and there are many. But he looked at Brother Robinson and he said, do you know what Jesus spent more words on than any other subject? Far and away more than any other subject. Brother Robinson didn't know it. He said it was his relationship with his Father. And he said, have you ever heard a sermon on that subject? I don't think Brother Robinson ever had. Maybe this Brother Scott had heard one. And I said, wow, he's talked about it that much. We need to talk about it some.
Yeah.
Would it be okay if we focused on what Jesus focused on? Would it be all right if we spent a little time on what He spent more time on than any other subject that He talked about? His relationship with His Heavenly Father. So we want to talk about that. I think if we talked about it every minute of every session of these three sessions, we wouldn't talk about it too much. But let's talk about Jesus' relationship with His Heavenly Father. I was raised to believe that Jesus was the Father. And in Isaiah 9:6, He's called the Father. The one and only time in Scripture that I can find that Jesus is ever referred to as the Father. We won't take time right now to go into it, but He is for sure not called the Eternal Father there. He's called the Father of Continuing, the Continuing Father. Abraham is called Father 17 times in the Bible, Father Abraham. And in Romans, He's called the Father of us all, but nobody makes Him God the Father. Jesus is called Father in Isaiah 9:6. And I took that to mean that He was our Heavenly Father, in spite of the fact that He spoke of His Heavenly Father 170 times. in the four Gospels. He said, my Father is greater than I. John 14, my Father knows things I don't know. Matthew 24, Jesus was about to leave and he didn't know when he was coming back. He said, my Father knows. When the precious woman brought her two sons to Jesus and asked that one sit on his right and one on his left in his kingdom, Jesus said, that is not mine to give. In my own kingdom, I'm not going to decide who sits on my right and my left. My Father is going to make that decision. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I overlooked those verses or gave them some other meaning. I now see much clearer than I did before. Let me tell you a little bit of how I came to that understanding. LaBrisca and I pastored in Oneness Church in Bastrop, Louisiana from 1961 to 1970. About 1966, I was 27 years old, began to fast and pray along with my wife LaBrisca, seeking God for power, signs, wonders, miracles, whatever the apostles had, that's what we wanted. That's 40 years ago and we're still seeking. We're seeking for revival. But I still believe it's coming. Amen? You still believe it's on the way. God has promised, His promises are true. But anyway, out of our seeking, and I'm not saying we earned it or deserved it in any way, but instead of giving what we were seeking, God sent something that I was not even focused on, and that was songwriting. I was at the church one day. LaBrisca was busy with the children. So I went to the church to pray, and when I got up from prayer, I went to the piano and I wrote a song. We have some people here that were in our church. They know that up until 1966, I was not a songwriter. After that, God began to pour songs through me. And I thank Him for it. To God be the glory. And I wrote some 250 songs, and these songs opened doors. Took us in Europe, around the United States and Canada. But anyway, in 1986, I ran aground spiritually. I was only praying, I guess at that time I'm going to confess a little bit. They say the best way to get everybody's attention is either make a mistake or confess. So I'm going to confess. I was only praying at meal time. Good thing we ate off. That's not a good place to be. You're not going to maintain spiritual strength just praying at meal time. So I fell into a situation, and I'm going to be very open here. This is the confessing part. I fell into a situation that was destroying my life, was destroying my marriage, was destroying my ministry. LaBrisca wrote a wonderful book about it called Partners in Emotion. You can get the book out here if you want to find more about that situation. But in early 1986, I totally ran aground. And I told LaBrisca, the world's going to have to take another look at Joel Hemphill, the guy that wrote He's Still Working on Me, Master of the Wind, Consider the Lilies, those songs. I was not who I thought I was. I was not who everybody else thought I was, and I just totally ran aground. But on the lowest day of my life, God spoke to me. I did not know that God spoke in that manner in 1986. And He said, I love you, and I'm not angry with you. Now, you don't have to believe this to believe what I'm teaching doctrinally. Because I did not write my book, To God Be the Glory, from visions and voices. I wrote it from Holy Scripture. And it has 1,000 scripture references to back it up. Now, it is our final authority, what the Bible says. But anyway, I didn't write it from visions and voices. We don't get our doctrine from our experience. With God's help, we seek to make our experience fit the Holy Bible. That's where we get our doctrine. And God spoke to him and told me He loved me. And He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of your father and also your God. He said, Abraham rested in my bosom, your father rested in my bosom. Many of you knew my dad. Preached the gospel for 68 years, a man of God. And I honor him highly. And I know where he is because God told me your father rested in my bosom. So I take comfort in it. But God told me, study the scripture because I'm going to reveal myself to you in my word. And He said, the day will come when you will write a book or books about my glory. And so God walked us out of the situation we were in over about a 6-week period. He didn't just speak through one. He spoke through several. Several of different denominations. That lets me know that God is not bound by denominational boundaries. The phone would ring and it would be a certain pastor's wife and she would say, God said it. But God had already said it through somebody else of a different view. God always confirms what He said. So like I say, you don't have to believe this part of it to believe what I've written about God the Father and His relationship to Jesus in my book. But I know that I know that I know that I know that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, spoke to me and said, study the scripture because I'm going to reveal myself to you in my word. Now you have to know that I struggled with that for a while because I said I clearly see Jesus in the scripture. And thank God for that, because there's no salvation outside of Jesus. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And without the shedding of his righteous, sinless, pure, and holy blood, there is no remission of sin. So we can just settle that now. Outside of Jesus, there is no salvation. Anyway, I began to struggle with this. And I'm saying, I'm not seeing something in the scripture that I'm supposed to see. So I studied the glory. He mentioned the glory, so I studied the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory, the Jews call it, that came in the temple and in the tabernacle. And I said, well, I don't think that's it. And I said, are we not giving God the glory when we get standing ovations and applause and dove awards and all these things? Are we taking glory from God? You have to know that I struggled with this. And I said, you know, I'm going to write a book about God's glory, but I don't understand what he's saying. So I ceased to struggle with it, but I kept searching the scripture. And 19 years later, in 2005, I'd written gospel tracts. And I was just driven to find these verses in the Old Testament, mostly, that said, I'm God. I created it all. I did it by myself. There was no God with me. If there's another God, I don't know it. I'm the one and only. I just started writing that. I mean, I started spending hours. Get up in the morning at 5 o'clock. Labriska saw the urgency of it. She'd get in the den and pray in the spirit. I'm at my desk that she fixed for me there in the living room, and I'm writing. One day Labriska said, honey, this must be that book God spoke to you. Through the years, we talked about it. If anybody was close to us at all, somewhere along the way, I would say, you know, someday I'm going to write a book about God's glory. Couldn't do it. Somebody was going to hang me. I couldn't have written it. When God began to open my understanding, I began to see these things. And one day, I was actually about 20 or 30 miles from here on a deer stand, about 10 o'clock one morning, and the pieces of the puzzle began to come together. And I said, wow, this is about God's glory. Because I began to think of Isaiah chapter 42, and the first 7 verses are about the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And God the Father says, I'm going to send him. I'm going to uphold him. I'm going to put my spirit upon him. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he brings judgment. But in verse 8, God says, my glory I will not give to another. I said, wow. In my sincere desire to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been giving him in my heart and in my worship his Father's glory. Don't misunderstand it. Jesus has awesome glory. John said Jesus began to do miracles and manifest forth his glory. He said in John 17, Father, the glory you gave me. He said, you'll see me sit on the throne of my glory. He said, you'll see me coming in my own glory. See, the first Adam reached for God's glory. But the second Adam never reached for God's glory. He was content with his own glory. Awesome glory. I love to talk about Jesus' glory. We just take the rest of the session talking about Jesus' glory. I'm a Jesus man. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wept over him today. And when Stephen's up here singing about those 5 fingers of his hand, I mean, things are moving on the inside of me, and I know they are. You were Jesus' people. But we dare not forget his Father. And that's what I had done. I said, what I'm writing is about God's glory. God is not jealous of his Son, but he is jealous of his glory. He said, my glory I'll not give to another. Jesus has awesome glory. When he comes, the brightness of his glory will destroy the Antichrist. So he has awesome glory. You say, what are you talking about, glory? Well, I kind of had to study it out, begin to try to understand. Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there's one glory in the sun, there's one glory in the moon, there's one glory in the stars. Everything has its own glory. Man has his glory. the animal kingdom, the plant world. You know, these flowers, they have a certain glory.